Good morning, everybody. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 25 says, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe." I want you to listen to those words. The Bible says there's something out there that is a trap. You know, this is written in sort of old English. What is a snare? A snare is something that a hunter puts out there to entrap their prey. And when the prey oversteps that boundary, it gets caught and it can cost you your life. Now, the Bible says there is something in this world that operates according to the same principle. It is a trap that is set for you, and if you venture into it, it will spring shut and it will suck the life out of you. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord, he will be kept safe. Now, this scripture reveals to us one of the greatest weapons that Satan loves to use to work against mankind. One thing we have to understand about the devil, the Bible says your adversary, the devil, walks around or prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil is your enemy. The devil is your adversary. God has a plan for you. We know that the Bible says God wants to prosper your life. We know the Bible says God has good plans for us. Now, it doesn't matter how good God's plan for your life is if the devil is always in your business, because his business is to destroy God's plan for your life. When God wants you here, the devil wants you there. When God wants you there, the devil wants you there. Whatever God wants for your life, Satan wants to oppose it. An adversary is somebody that will oppose you and wants you to fail. Is there anybody in this place that wants to fail? Then you better not have nothing to do with the devil, because the more you have to do with him, the better the chances are you are going to fail. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you fear man? Now, I don't expect you to answer. It's sort of a rhetorical question, but I need to get you to think. Now, when you think about, do you fear man? You know, a lot of you might have images of, there's this big oak coming there that wants to box you, and should I face him or should I turn and run? That's not necessarily the fear that we are talking about here. Do you fear man? Are you concerned by what others say? Are you concerned by what others think of you? You see, we don't always think about it that way, but to fear man is to be conscious of what they think, conscious of what they say, and therefore that determines how I will react instead of how I want to react. You see, here is the problem. The Bible makes one thing very clear. Whatever you fear will end up controlling your life. You know, a lot of people have this thing, nobody will control me, but you allow everybody around you to control you because you are concerned about what everybody says and you are concerned about what everybody thinks. If you are concerned about what others are going to say, if other people's opinions matter to you to that extent, you will always in some way compromise who you are to be what they want you to be. Now, if God made you fearfully and wonderfully, which is a biblical way of God saying, I made you unique, then God expects you to be unique. Isn't that true? Then every time you compromise who you are to be what somebody else wants you to be, or you feel intimidated by them and therefore you change who you are, then you are no longer the person God made you. Are you with me? And that's a trap that you fall into. And that causes big problems. If you let the fear of man affect the decisions of your life, then you can never say that you are actually in control of your life. Because once the devil sees that that works with you, he will constantly send you the kind of people that will intimidate you, that will threaten you, that will in some way exert influence over your life, which will cause you to compromise who you are, which will cause you to change. Now, the moment you begin to do that, you are now fearing man more than you fear God. How do you expect God to bless you when you fear man more than you fear God. Amen. It's a recipe for disaster. Fearing man is in essence the opposite of fearing God. It is to worry about pleasing man and obtaining man's agreement or friendship or favor rather than that of God. How many times do we know, listen to me, just follow with me. You come to a party. You have certain principles. You grew up a certain way. Your mom and dad taught you manners, etc., etc. You know what God expects of you. But at this party, there's a group and you've always wanted to be a part of this group. Now, they're all being stupid and they're all doing stupid things. And you get this thing that if you do what they do, then they will invite you in. They will allow you to become part of the group. You might not think of it that way, but right now you are busy fearing man. Because you are willing to compromise who you are and what you believe in. You are willing to take everything that you hold dear and all your good godly upbringing and throw it out the window for a couple of minutes of fame with people whose opinions don't even matter. And that's where most people's downward spiral in life starts. Because we so desperately want the approval of man. And in order to get the approval of man, we often have to be somebody that we are not. Or we have to change who we are. Or we have to do things that, if we have to be honest about it, we don't really like doing them. And you see, the fear of man will be a snare unto you. How many young people have fallen victim to drug abuse? Because they were at the party and everybody was saying, because you don't want to do it, they say, you're a loser. You're a chicken. What are you afraid of? I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the fires of hell. I'm afraid of a life of destruction. We should fear God more than what we fear man. God expects us to stand for what is right. We must stand for our principles and what we believe in. If you are afraid of upsetting man or being rejected by man, if you are afraid of losing somebody's friendship, then you begin to do whatever you feel you have to do to stay in that place. But you see, the manipulation is going to cause you to do things that you know you shouldn't do. It'll cause you to compromise who you are. Instead of living your life guided by the Word of God, you will begin to be guided by people's opinions. You will be guided by what people say of you. Have you ever noticed that there's always somebody that doesn't like you? Come on, let's just be honest. You can be the world's most amazing person and somebody is going to have a problem with the fact that you smile too much. You're too kind. You're too helpful. You know, there is no pleasing certain people. Now, if you suddenly become worried about those people and you want to include them in the people that you please, you're going to have to change who you are. Do you think that that's what God wants for your life? No. In other words, this is what the Bible speaks of when it says the fear of man will be a snare unto you. The next time you are in a place and there's a group of people that are sort of the in crowd, and this voice comes and speaks to you and says, oh, you know what, if you were those people, people will look at you differently, you will be more popular, this, that, what. Tell that voice to shut up and futsack. Because it is the voice of your adversary. It's how the devil works. It's how he worms his way into your life. Because the moment you open yourself up to that fear, where does all fear come from? It comes from Satan. You're beginning to open yourself up to allow that thing to come into you. And what he ultimately wants is to control your life. Satan, all forms of Satanism. Let's think of witchcraft. We can all agree that witchcraft comes from the devil, right? If you're sitting here and you believe that there is something like Christian witchcraft, let me help you out. There's no such thing. God doesn't operate that way. It's unbiblical. It's satanic. It's controlled by demons. And ultimately, it's controlled by Satan himself. But what is the purpose of witchcraft? The purpose of witchcraft is to use supernatural forces to control somebody's life. Some people go to a witch doctor because they want such and such girl to fall in love with them. What are you trying to do? You're trying to control her feelings and emotions. Some people go to a witch doctor because they don't think the boss pays them enough. So some spell or ritual must be done for the boss to suddenly feel, I must pay you more. But what are you trying to do? You're trying to control your boss's paycheck, you know, wallet. Satan loves to control. And Satan has various ways that he will employ to control your life. Maybe you've never looked at it from this point of view, but then today you must open your eyes. The more you fear man, the more the devil will begin to control your life. Because if you fear one person today, then tomorrow, because of the fear that's already entered you, you will want to please two or three others. Then you will want to please that one or that one. By the time you've finished, you are not even half the person that you used to be. Because you have forced yourself to adapt and to change, you become a people pleaser. But there is only one that we should fear. In fact, the Bible says the only one that you should fear is the one that has the power over life and death. The only one that we should fear to that extent is God. The best way for me to describe this is to look at something that we refer to as peer pressure. You know what peer pressure means, right? It means that when we are in a certain situation, because of our peers, the people surrounding us, all doing something, and us feeling like a castaway because we're not doing it, even though we know it's wrong, we will eventually end up doing it because we just want to fit in. And like I said to you, how many people's lives are destroyed today because of peer pressure? But peer pressure is just a fancy way of saying that we feared the people around us, which ends up in destruction. It's called pressure because man's approval or lack of approval forces you to alter your beliefs or your actions in order to please them so that you can become part of them. And do you know what's sad about peer pressure? Young people allow that pressure to affect them to be like people that they probably don't even like. They simply want to be part of the crowd. I want to say something to you today. Even though it's difficult, it's okay if you don't fit in everywhere, because everything is not for you. Amen? There's a lot of things out there that people are mad about, but if you ask God's opinion about it, He doesn't like it one bit. It's not for you. Certain things is best if you stay out of it. It's not a popularity contest. Listen to me carefully. The only one that you should really be trying to please is God. And if you endeavor to please God, in other words, if you fear God with all your heart and all your soul and every part of your being, then God will make sure that you are blessed. Amen. But if you begin to fear man to that extent, it separates you from God. And if you separate it from God, problems are going to come into your life, whether you like it or not. Peer pressure usually pushes you to live like the world does, to do the things others do that in your heart you know is wrong. Romans 12 verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, my brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's word tells us very clearly, the world has one set of standards. Do not conform to the standards of this world. You know, the world has a lot of things that is acceptable, but when you measure it in accordance with God's word, it's unacceptable. But then our attitude is, oh, how bad can it be? Everybody does it. Well, like it says, if one guy jumps in the fire, does it mean we must all jump in the fire? And the fire that I'm talking about here is literally the fires of hell. Because when we do not take into account who God is and what we are supposed to be doing with our life, we start getting into a very dangerous place that the fires of hell is beginning to call us. When you say that you are a child of God, it means that you want to please God first. Amen? Now here's the problem today. And let's call a spade a spade. The world is full of so-called Christians that first care what the world thinks, and maybe they'll entertain what God thinks later. Maybe. Because I see more and more and more so-called Christians who behave in very unchristian-like ways, and it looks like nobody has a problem with it. How can we not have a problem with it? Listen to me. Right is right and wrong is wrong. There is black and white, but there are no gray areas in the Bible. Show me one if you can. I don't think you will. God has certain expectations of us as children of God. The reason the world doesn't take us seriously anymore is because, according to the world, most of us are hypocrites. Because we sit in church on Sunday, but Monday to Friday, we act like uncircumcised Philistines. Now, that's a problem. Because we represent the kingdom of God. That's a problem because we put God in a bad light. Certain things are not for me. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. You see, the fear of man can come from many different sources. Let's look at it from a pastoral point of view. You know, today there's a lot of pastors busy preaching. Now, the question that I'm asking is, who is the pastor trying to please? Is he trying to please God? Well, if he's trying to please God, he's going to tell you the truth. Or is he trying to please man? Then he's going to water it down because he doesn't want to step on your toes. One thing I want to tell you about myself, and you can go check all my sermons, I have no problem stepping on people's toes. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to call a spade because I want to tell you something. Not just my job is on the line, my life is on the line. The Bible says, let us not all desire to be in leadership because judgment upon our life will be more severe. You see, one day when I stand before God, I will be judged in a different way to you because my responsibility is to teach you the right way. It's not to try and make buddy-buddy with you. It's not to try and just smooth things over. You know, I saw a very interesting little picture a while ago. There were two churches. The one was big. It looked like one of these big amphitheaters. And it was packed. And at the bottom it says, when you preach what people want to hear. Then there was this little school hall with 10 people sitting there and a pastor preaching. And then it said, when you preach what people have to hear. And I can tell you from my experience, that just seems to be the way it is these days. People don't want to hear the truth anymore. People want to hear that God is not upset with them. God's not, going to visit their iniquities and give them a hard time. There's no more punishment. It's grace, 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 grace. Do what you want. Be what thou wilt. And everything is going to be fine. I want to tell you something. My understanding is that's of the devil. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he got upset with the Israelites for overstepping boundaries, he's going to still do the same with us today. If God expected them to do the right thing, he expects us to do the right thing. In fact, Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law, he came to perfect it. We cannot be saved by the law anymore, but that doesn't mean we can take the law and throw it out and say, it's not pertaining to me. As Christians, we know that there is right and there is wrong. We better do what's right because then we honor God. We cannot keep doing as we please. And I want to say to you again, you know what? If you are a Christian, and I go to your workplace and we ask, who are the Christians? Yeah, the first thing they should do is point their fingers and say, Nuno is one. And I'm going to say, how do we know that? Because we see it in his life. Unfortunately, that's not the reality in a lot of workplaces. Because a lot of the people that claim to be Christians, when you ask their fellow staff members, they're going to be very shocked to hear that that oak is a Christian. Because vrachtig, they can't see it. We cannot conform to the world or the worldly way of doing things. We got to do things differently. We're speaking about a pastor. A pastor will come under the judgment of the scripture when he is more worried about what people think about his preaching than he's worried about what God thinks about it. We have to preach the truth. I'm not just preaching this to you. I have people that listen to this all over the world. And I have a lot of pastors that communicate to me about my sermons. And I want to encourage them. I want to encourage you. You preach the truth. Black is black, white is white. We do not compromise. Listen, yeah, God has no time for hypocrites. A hypocrite is somebody that says one thing and then he does a different thing. The Pharisees were like that. Have you ever seen Jesus had no time for no Pharisee? I don't want to be a Pharisee in his eyes. Neither do you. Therefore, we have to stick to what is true. A girl can fear her boyfriend and compromise her values or vice versa. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. But when we're afraid of how somebody else is going to react when we say yes or no or whatever, then it causes that fear will cause a control which will cause us to go somewhere we shouldn't have gone. It creates a lot of problems. Remember, the fear of man is a trap from Satan. And when you fall into that trap, it will give you endless problems in your life. There's a lot of people that have fallen into that trap. They made decisions because of fear of man. They made decisions, and sometimes people make life-altering decisions because they are concerned about what some will say or what some will think. Do you know what? It's a recipe for disaster. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but soon you're going to pick up the pieces because that can never be blessed of God. The Bible warns us. The fear of man, in other words, every decision that you make to try and please man is going to backfire because of who is behind it. Whatever decisions you make should be because you fear God and you trust Him implicitly. Aaron has an interesting account in the Bible where we see that there was a situation where he feared the people. And he made a decision based on the fact that he was afraid of the people. And let's see what happened. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 22 to 24. Aaron speaking. He says, "Do not be angry, my Lord." Aaron answered, "Do you know, or you know how prone these people are to evil? They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So the Israelites came to him and they said, hey, you're in charge. Moses is gone. He's left us. We want new gods. We demand new gods. Aaron was a leader. What should he have done? He should have put them in their place and said, "Hey, are you crazy? Are you mad? Are you stupid? What do you mean you want new gods? There's only one God." But instead of standing for the truth, he compromised his values. He compromised his principles because I'm of the opinion that when they came to speak to him, they did not speak in a very nice way. They were very authoritative. They were probably a bunch of them. They were probably very big. They were probably very threatening. Don't you think if he stood for the truth, God would have backed him? You see, he feared the people more than he feared God. He went and he made a golden calf. He gave the people what they wanted. He gave in to fear. Do you know what happened? Big problems. On that day, the anger of God burned against Israel. 3,000 people died that day because of the fear of man instead of the fear of God. So Aaron should have known better. But his fear of the people caused him to anger God. King Saul, why did he lose his crown? Why did God take away his kingship? King Saul lost his kingdom for fearing the people and sparing a king by the name of Agag. Samuel 15 verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, yes, I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions, but I was afraid of the people." Do you hear that? I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. What is going to happen to you if you allow people to intimidate you to do what God doesn't expect you to do? There's going to be problems. On that day, the kingship was taken away from him. Why? Because he feared man more than he feared God. We also find in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 to 11, a man by the name of Herod, who at that stage was in charge of the Israelites. And what happened was, he had a party. At this party, his wife's daughter did a dance, which pleased him greatly. And he made a promise to her that, I will give you whatever you want, even half my kingdom. He must have had a bit to drink before he said that. But anyway, her mother came to her and said, oh, this is a good opportunity. I want John the Baptist's head on a plate. So she went back to Herod and she said to him, you said I can have whatever I want. I want John the Baptist's head on a plate. And then Herod thought to himself, man, I never thought it was going to go this way. He should have just said, I'm king. No. But he was afraid of his wife. He was afraid of her daughter. And he was afraid of everybody that heard what he said. He feared the people. He did what he knew in his heart was wrong. But he did it because he was afraid of the people. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Pontius Pilate. He was another ruler. He was ruler in the time that Jesus was crucified. They brought Jesus before him. He heard the reports. He listened to first-hand testimony. He made a declaration. I find no guilt in this man. The people shouted outside, crucify him. Crucify him. What did he do? Did he do what he knew in his heart was right, or did he fear the people? He feared the people. What happened to him? Does anybody know? Apparently, his body rotted and was eaten by worms. Is it a good thing to allow the fear of man to control your life? Is it a good thing for the fear of man to control your destiny? Then we have Peter. Jesus warned him. Before the cock crows, you are going to denounce me three times. Peter was sitting with a bunch of other people, other Israelites. Suddenly somebody said, weren't you one of them? Me? You must be crazy. Me? I don't even know this man that you're talking about. And then they said, yes, but listen to your accent. You have the same accent as them. I don't know this man. Why did he react that way? Because there was a lot of people and he was afraid of them. It happened three times. The fear of man will be a snare unto you. On the other hand, we have a man in the Bible by the name of David. Everybody was afraid of Goliath. Everybody was intimidated by Goliath. Everybody was under the scripture that says the fear of man will be a snare unto you. Israel was under the verge, was at the verge of becoming slaves of the Philistines. David looked at this man and said, what are you all afraid of? He's just flesh and blood. He's no better than us. Is there nobody here that has faith in God? Let me go. And his brothers mocked him. His brothers ridiculed him. His brothers tried to convince him that he was stupid and that this would never work. They were putting pressure on him. What did he do? He pushed the pressure away and he said, I go with God. In other words, his whole attitude was, I will fear God, but I will not fear my brothers. I will not fear this Philistine. What happened? The impossible became possible. A little boy this big killed a giant that probably stood about as high as the ceiling there. He was something like 10 foot high. In the normal world, these things could never happen. But he never fell into the trap of fearing men. Then we have a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel lived in a time of great trial for Israel. They had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and in Babylonia they had to honor the Babylonian people. The king at that time made a decree that he was a god, and there were statues erected, and everybody had to bow to the statues. And Daniel said, I will bow before no statue, I bow before God only. In other words, Daniel made it very clear, the only one that I fear is God, do with me what you must. The king said, no problem. Throw him in the lion's den. What did God do? God locked the mouths of the lions. What am I trying to show you? When you choose to stand for God, God stands for you. Sometimes we allow the fear of man to control us instead of standing for what is right and what is truthful. God says, if you stand for me, I will stand for you. Even if you're in a room full of people and they all want to do this one thing and you say no, make a choice to say no. God will show you how he's going to vindicate you and get you out of that. Because when you stand for God, you touch God's heart. Amen? Then we have Daniel's three friends. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same thing. They wouldn't honor their captors. They wouldn't bow before their gods. They wouldn't do what they expected them to do. They told them straight, we serve God. The king said, no problem, prepare the fiery furnace. You know, the Bible says that the two guards that had to throw them into the furnace were burnt up at the entrance of the furnace. It was so hot that the guards who were not under God's protection immediately combusted. Yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked around in the fiery furnace. And when the king looked in, he was shocked because he saw a fourth man. Who was the fourth man? It could have been Christ. It could have been an angel of God. But it was God's provision for their protection. That day God proved who should be feared. Why are all these things in the Bible? For us to know who we should fear. We do not fear man. We fear God only. Amen? It is impossible for you or me to be a true believer and have fear of man in our hearts. Are people important? Yes. Should we fear them? No. If somebody walks out of your life today, it's not like God doesn't know what's going on. Maybe you have one supplier that expects you to compromise. And you say no because you're standing on the principles of God. Then you have to believe that God will send you another one. Amen? Jesus gave a very stern warning in the book of John 5:44. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet you make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the one and only God? In other words, he says, how can you be believers and all you're worried about is what people think of you? Shouldn't you be worried about what God thinks of you? So how do you avoid the fear of man? The first thing, you have to be confident in the scriptures that God gives us over wisdom of men. Psalm 119 says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes night and day. How many believers don't we have that go to church, hear the word of God, then they go and consult some wise guru that tells them to do something completely unbiblical, and they follow what the guru says? That's what the scripture means. Listen to what he says. He says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes day and night. If you need wisdom, you don't have to go to men. Or if you do go to men, because we have teachers in this world, they need to meditate on the word of God and teach you the word of God, because that is going to set you apart from worldly people. Doesn't the Bible say today, when you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you? It doesn't say today when you go to some swami or some guru and you do what they say, I will bless you. The wisdom that speaks through them is not the wisdom of God. But the wisdom that speaks from the Word of God is God. Who should direct your life? God and God only. The next thing that is important if you don't want to fall into the trap of fear of men is you need to avoid wrong influences. Proverbs 22 verse 24 says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man, and do not associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." This is not just about temper. This speaks of the character of man. In Afrikaans sê ons, "Meng jou met die semels en die varke vreet jou op." Is there an English way of saying that? Is there any, Eddie? Oh, well, we have one very good proverb that you guys don't have. But if I have to translate it, it means like when you hang around with pig fodder, do not be surprised if the pigs will feed on you. Okay. So this is very important. The influences that you allow in your life are going to do exactly that. They are going to influence you. If you keep hanging around with ungodly people, if you keep doing business with ungodly men, do not be surprised if one morning you wake up and your principles have gone out the window, because you become like them. They will influence you. We have to be very careful. The next thing that's important is we need to trust in God for our protection. In other words, not in man. Hebrews 13 verse 6, "So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Look at your neighbor and say, "I don't have to be afraid. God is my helper." Amen. Now and then you're going to come into a situation where you want to be afraid of man. You remember that scripture and you say, "The Bible says I don't have to. What can man do to me?" Nebuchadnezzar tried to do a lot of things. God showed him who's boss. God still does it today in different ways. Amen? The next thing that's important is we must understand that natural man, carnal man, the mind of man is actually ignorant and incompetent compared to God. You see, the thing is today when people have a problem, the first thing they think is, "Who can I go to for help? Who being what mortal man around me can get me out of this doang?" There might be not one. It might be that God is the only one. And therefore your focus cannot be on men. Psalm 62 verse 9. "Low-born men are but a breath. The highbrow are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." When you compare man with God, that's what you get. You need wisdom? God has wisdom. You need a breakthrough? God has breakthrough. You need help? God is your helper. The more we run to man for these things, the more we're going to go to the place where we will begin to fear man rather than fearing God. The fifth point, we must understand that we are here on earth to please God, not man. Look at your neighbor and say, "I want to be a God pleaser." Look at your other neighbor because they didn't hear. "I want to be a God pleaser." Why is this important? Because this is what God wants from you. God wants you to please Him. The problem is we are so busy pleasing the people around us that we forget that our purpose, our sole purpose for being here is to please God, not man. When you begin to please God, a lot of men will be pleased with you too. But you got to start in the right place. Amen? The scripture that I want to give you, Galatians 1 verse 10. "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." If you want to be a true servant of Christ, you stop trying to please people. You try to please God. In the process, you will please a lot of people as well. But your focus is not the people. Your focus is God. And when God sees that your heart is sold out to Him, when God sees that you want to please Him with everything in you, God's favor will always be upon your life. God's protection will always be upon your life. And you never have to fear the snare of the enemy, because you will not step in it. Because the fear of the enemy is the fear of man. Sorry, the snare of the enemy is simply the fear of man. There's going to come situations in your life where something is going to happen and you want to default to panic, stress, worry and running to man. No. Go to God. Let God send the right men. Don't go and look for them. Because human wisdom compared to God's wisdom is ridiculous. It's irrelevant. Raise your hands if you know the future. So we've cast out all those divination spirits. I'm happy to hear it. Nobody here knows the future, but God does. And sometimes God works with us in a different way because He knows tomorrow. He knows what's going to come. We don't. Put your faith in God. Let the fear of God guard your heart. Let the fear of God guide your decision making. Not what men say. Right now, people are leaving this country in their thousands. Not one of these people know what the future holds, but God does. They are fearing the men around them. When God says, fear me, I want to tell you straight, this is my country. I go nowhere. God put me here for a reason. If He put me here for a reason, He will take care of me. He will protect me. He will bless me. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, there you have it. You better get used to her because she's going nowhere. Amen. Well, praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not what some say. It's what He says that is important. When you go through something in your life, try and find out what God has to say about it. And I want to tell you, there's probably not one situation that's in your life right now that's not mirrored in the Bible somewhere. And that'll show you what God expects you to do. When God sees that your heart is to put Him first, God will also put you first. Amen. God is your provider. God is your protector. God is your helper. And He will not let you down. Amen. Let us just pray. Father, I do thank You that Your Word speaks to our hearts in a very tangible and clear way. And Lord, we are sorry that sometimes we really do allow the fear of man to control our decision making. Sometimes we have this impulse to panic and stress and worry because a man said this or a man said that. If it doesn't come from the lips of God, it's irrelevant and it doesn't matter. Help us, Lord, that our focus will always be on You. Forgive us, Lord, for the times that we've caused our own problems by stepping in the snare of the fear of man. Equip us with Your Word. Teach us Your wisdom and bless us, Lord, that our hearts will be steadfast and that we will walk in integrity with our eyes clearly focused on our provider, who is You. Thank You, Lord, that You release us from the snare of the fear of man. Give us boldness. Give us determination. Give us willingness to go forward and please God and only God. I thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Did anybody learn something? Give the Lord a big hand, please.